has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive this Wednesday evening. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening.
And
I'm still here.
You're still here. Good, good.
I'm still here. Praise
I bet
the Lord.
We've got Pastor Cox with us as well. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Great to be on again with you from Oklahoma here.
Amen. Amen. Same here. Glad to be here, and I'll sure let you know when your caller calls in.
Sounds good. Ralph, are you getting your nose above water up there in Missouri?
I am. I've been treading water. Actually, God's been very, very merciful to me and my family. We are high and dry. We have been spared from it, other than a few inconveniences, which really is an inconvenience when you just can't leave your road for a couple hours. It's just so insignificant when you know that there are people who have lost homes. I've seen on social media a few people complaining about, there goes the fishing. I know you can relate to that. We like to have the good fishing, or we'll never get our boat in the water, this and that. And I just think, that's what you're complaining about when people have lost homes. But it could have been in dead jest. Sometimes it's hard to know if something's in jest when it's being typed out. You can't hear the tone, so don't be too judgmental. But it's there's been definitely a lot of need for prayer and compassion throughout the Ozarks, and I know that that some of that's affecting even parts of Oklahoma and going into Illinois as well too, and people that are south on the Mississippi River is going to get all that water that's going that way. And I am very glad that our brother Bill had called in and mentioned we were going to talk about that. Folks, if you didn't turn in and didn't hear that, weren't tuned in for the prayer meeting, there is a video that is out that I stumbled across and shared, and I've shared it with Pastor Cox here and others at the ministry. But it's a car got turned over in a creek during a tornado. I don't know all the details leading up to it, but there was a couple of children in there, and this entire thing's caught on video, where people were rushing in to open. You could see them really, really struggling to get the doors open. It's just the power of water is just so immense. And they get these children out, and one child comes out. This little boy, around 18 months old, and he is completely lifeless. You see his head flip over. You see all these things. And the man, you hear someone say, "Let's start performing CPR." And for whatever reason, the man takes the phone off of it, puts it in his pocket. And you hear a lady in the background calling out to Jesus for the boy to be brought back to life. And the man that took the video testified that the minute she said that, the boy gasped, air gasped. And that is the authority of the name of Jesus. There is so much power in that name, so much power. And when you're in Christ, you exercise that authority. We even have the authority over the spirit of death if that time comes and that need comes. And I just want to get that out, let people know that, as it encourages me. It encourages me to see that. I saw another video that another brother in Christ had shared. I know I got that out to you late, Pastor. I'm sure you didn't have a chance to watch it. But I told him about the story. There's a video out there called Dead Raisers. Look it up. I don't know if it's all free. I don't know if what I saw was just a kind of a promo for it. I'm going to look this up and find it. But it's about, apparently it's a documentary of men who are going around and getting testimonies of people who have witnessed the dead being raised. And this was a state trooper that was on the road, and he got a call from the Holy Spirit to start praying and go to a certain direction. He didn't know why he was going, but he was praying. He testified how he started praying in his heavenly prayer language, which that is a one of the weapons that the Lord gives us that helps us stay in tune and over the demonic realm. And he's en route. And then the mama's gives her testimony that there had been about 30 minutes that her child had not been breathing. And, of course, she was upset. Said, "Here I was cussing, I was so mad, why did it take so long for the ambulance to get here," and all these things, being worried as a mother would be, and frustrated. But here comes the police officer, and they thought he was the first responder. He had no idea about the call. He had no idea why he was going there. He just heard and was tuned into the Holy Spirit and showed up. And he talks about how he cradled that young boy in his arms. And he cradled it just as it was my own. And he puts that child in his arms. And he said he takes his hand and puts it up in his shirt. And he rebuked the spirit of death, rebuked it in the name of Jesus, commanded it to leave. And then he spoke directly to the young man. I think his name was Langdon. And he said, "Langdon, it's now time for you to awake." And he describes that he said that he could tell how responsive he was, how cold to the touch, his eyes were rolled back, and how life came back into that child. He spoke directly. That's the authority there. He exercised the authority. Certainly we can pray to the Father to help us in situations and pray for things, but that's what's so important to realize, that Christians have that authority. That authority was granted to us in the Great Commission to go out and do these things. We've already got the tools to do it. It certainly doesn't hurt to help the Holy Spirit, to pray for the Father for help in things, but we have the authority. You see it in the book of Acts. You see where the apostles just spoke and it happened. And it's just absolutely amazing. And I know, Pastor, that you have probably heard tons more testimonies like this than I ever have, being exposed to this a lot more than I have. And I'm looking forward to Dr. Fox coming on so she can give the testimonies that she's seen and heard. I've heard her on a CD in the past, and so I'm looking forward to this. It's just wow. Because we have, what kind of power do we have? As you like to say, A-L-L.
All power.
All power. A-L-L. A-L-L. And
that is so awesome for Christians to finally get hold of. Most of us have grown up praying to the Father in Jesus' name, and that's fine, and God does answer prayer. Yet, we also have been given the power of attorney in the name of Jesus to speak directly, as you were just covering. And once a person, a Christian, gets hold of that, that we can speak life, we can rebuke death, we can speak directly. We are to do the same works of Jesus, John 14:12, in his name as believers. And once you get hold of that, the world is open for you to go forth doing it. And that's what this show is all about, is telling testimonies and examples and touching on the scriptures of getting this across to the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen on that. Amen on
and
that.
Yes, Dr. Fox, that's coming on the show here shortly with us, is someone I've known for over 30 years, and had her on my radio show. I did 22 years in Oklahoma City area, and had her on numerous times. She's been on the 700 Club and other TV shows around the country for many years, and so we're getting ready to have a real treat here tonight to hear her share and her humble beginnings and false religions that she was in the beginning. And she had a friend that got her straightened out of that and got her delivered, and well, she'll tell the story. So I'm excited for her to be on. She's in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, Bixie, Oklahoma, just south of Tulsa. And while she's retired from her practice as an MD psychiatrist, she will never retire from ministry, as is certainly is my case as well. We will never retire. As long as we can walk and talk and do ministry, we will do it. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know that that you, this Monday, you had some power issues. There was a, I guess it was a tornado hit the fairgrounds nearby there. So didn't have ministry service this week. But did anything happen as far as any online phones or anything?
Well, we actually, Brother Ralph, we had three en route from Chicago driving down. And when we finally discovered this, that the power lines were down and no power in the area. In fact, power lines were down across the front of the church. I went down there and looked at it, and of course we had to cancel. But here we had three people that, when they got the message, they'd been in an area of Missouri, apparently they didn't have cell phone service. And when they got the message at Kansas City, then that we were having to cancel, but I invited them to come on, and we would accommodate them in our ministry office. We could certainly handle three in there. And so we had some of the team leaders come, and we ministered to them there. So the three did get ministry. It went very well. There was a lot of coughing as these spirits came out and yawning. And these exciting faces and grinning, and there's something like a blanket of heaviness that comes off when these spirits are cast out. So they are, hopefully will be on the show before too long.
Great, great, fantastic. Fantastic. That is just great to hear that they were able to still get that ministry. And that we're able to get to the call service to take care of them, because that would have been a little disappointing to drive that way and there's nothing they could do and have to turn around and go back. But that's our Jesus. He still works everything out for good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we finally got sunlight. It was a beautiful day yesterday, and we woke up and it was cold and windy out of the north, and rather disappointing day compared to yesterday, but it's going to shape up again. And tomorrow I'll be with a friend of mine, spirit-filled friend, flying over our state capital, taking authority over demonic activity, and also rededicating the state to the Lord Jesus. My friend belongs to a organization called Flight Prayer, And that's being done in all 50 states at 12 noon tomorrow over the state capitals. And they're flying over just as we will. So I'm looking forward to that.
That is, that's awesome. I had no idea about that. That is awesome. I did see an email come out from our school about a National Day of Prayer. So I don't know if maybe this is part of that or not. But, just because they aren't coordinated together doesn't mean the Holy Spirit can't coordinate other people to move to have a National Day of Prayer. How much this country can use that? That would be just that's just awesome. I know we talked about that state trooper who was operating in the spirit, operating and listening to the Holy Spirit. Just think of how different our country would be if every police officer or every sheriff's deputy or state trooper was in tune to the Holy Spirit like that, and just went when they were told and did this and had that kind of discernment. How quick our country would change. The violence in this country would probably disappear overnight. The police corruption would disappear. If they were that in tune to the Holy Spirit, they would realize that there are certain rights that are bestowed upon each person by God, and they wouldn't be so in tune to violate them. They wouldn't have the spirit of greed or injustice come upon them. It would just be a fantastic thing to have that. And Pastor, I do believe that we have Dr. Fox on the air. Dr. Fox, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, here. Thank you, Dr. Fox, for calling in. I'm excited that you're able to, and I was just telling them earlier, I've known you for over 30 years, and you've been on so many different shows, including mine that I had here in Oklahoma City for so many years. But Dr. Fox, you have a very interesting background. If you could share, I know you were into some false religions initially. You might start there, and how you got born again and delivered, and kind of go from there and share experiences that you've had and seen through these years.
Well, I was reared in a Christian atmosphere. I was, from the age of 12, I was sent to church. I don't know if you want my name, denomination or not, but anyway, I thought that I was a Christian, and I would have said I was a Christian had you asked me, but I wasn't. I had no experience with the Lord. I just knew to go to church, learn the verses, and sing the songs, which I did. I had not ever had an outright experience I could point to. But I began, after high school, I went to a nursing school, became a registered nurse for a few years, but then I kept thinking I should do something more. I wanted to do something more, so I discovered that I had enough brains to go to. Then I decided I wanted to be a doctor, so I went to pre-med at Tulsa University here in Oklahoma, and then I was accepted the very first time I applied at the University of Oklahoma School of Medicine. And after I got out of medical school, of course, let me say there's nothing of religion in any of these classes that I took, and hours of them, but I then began to think, well, gee, and then I decided I wanted to be a psychiatrist. So I, after my year of internship, after medical school, I did my psychiatry residence and finished that. And then I could at last go into my own practice. Well, I began to think and wonder, what do other people think of a God, if there is a God, what do they practice? So I began to read. I could read. I didn't have to study medicine all the time then, so I began to read books on meditation, yoga, Buddhism, Hinduism, you name it. And I taught myself to meditate, which means clearing the mind. And I would sit in the lotus position for an hour every morning and every evening, at clearing my mind so that I could find some kind of connection or find an experience. I was supposed to reach nirvana, whatever that was supposed to be. But anyway, that is a dangerous thing, to clear your mind and let it be totally empty, because it just opens the door. I did not know at that time there was a real God. I did not know there is a real devil. And I sort of fluffed off whatever I had read in the Bible as a younger girl. But I, as I said, I began to read all kinds of books on these things. And then I began to travel around and meet people. At that time, we called it the New Age. I don't know what they call it nowadays. I'm out of the swing out there in the world. But I noticed I began to have spells of depression, and they would last, maybe a few days, but they were so bad I would go to bed, and I just really didn't feel I wanted to go to my office, and so I would cancel out. But anyway, one day, I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here, but one day, and I began to, because I was studying these things, I wanted to dig deeper into the human mind and how it functions and so forth. But I said all of this so you will believe that I know what I'm talking about for sure, and that I'm telling you the truth, that believe it or not, I was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire at a stoplight between a red and a green light. I was on my way to my office on a Monday morning. I was depressed because my husband had been drinking. I never drank. I tried and I couldn't. I tried to smoke. I couldn't do that. But I put my foot on the brake and I just said, and mind you, I think that was the time I had just returned from Mexico. Oh, I also went to Mexico and studied the Yaqui Indian ways. But I am at the stoplight, and I took it. I just kind of looked out at the sky, and I said, "Oh God, how am I going to get through this day?" I knew my office was packed, and with appointments. And when I said that, trust me, I was not praying. I was using the name of the Lord in vain, as the Bible says. I when I said that, I felt a presence come into my car, like an electromagnetic force field, and I took a deep breath, and I'm wondering what this is. And when I exhaled, I was speaking loudly in another language that I did not know.
Praise God.
Well, I shook myself. I noticed the light had changed to green. I turn and go into my office. I go in. My secretary does a double take. She says, "Dr. Fox, what happened to you?" And I said, I don't know what you mean, because I had been wondering all the way to the office, what language was that? I should have been wondering what power was that. But anyway, I said, "Chris, what makes you say that?" She said, "Your face is shining like an angel." I thought, oh. So I go on in, and later a patient comes that was scheduled, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And we were rather well acquainted. She came in, and she said, "Well, Dr. Fox, you look so much better. What are you doing these days?" And I thought, well, gee, I haven't changed anything. I said, "What makes you say that?" And she said, "Well," she said, "you look like you swallowed a light bulb." Well, when she said that, I remembered then I connected the dots. This word came to my mind. Jesus Christ had said, I am the light of the world, of himself. He said that. And I thought, I began to wonder. Well, I was always going to the bookstore at noon to buy books. I'm an avid reader. And on the way there, this thought goes doop-doop-doop through my mind. I think I'll buy a Bible today. You see, God was leading me every step of the way, though I knew it not. I didn't connect the dots until later. I bought the Bible. I took it home, and I really couldn't... I had read it through as a senior in high school many years ago. Okay? I started reading the Bible. Nobody ever taught me what the center column was about. That's the reference columns that refers you to other writers over and further on in the book. From Genesis is where I started. And when I did this, I began to weep. I thought, this thing fits together like a beautiful mosaic. And anyway, so that was my beginning, and I began to wonder about my patients, and how the spirit, their spirits, their innermost being, what that had to do with perhaps they were depressed, perhaps they were psychotic and hallucinated or whatever. I saw all kinds of patients. But at any rate, I can say my practice changed at that point. Did you understand why?
Amen.
Are you there,
Amen.
Sir?
Yes, because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is leading you.
Yes. But anyway, I began to wonder, I'll just stop me if you want me to, tell me and notify me when the time
is
getting up.
No, you're doing good.
But I began to notice and ponder my patients and their problems. And I realize their spirit, the spirit of man, has a lot to do with his mental health. And I wondered if my patients knew anything about God and so forth. I began to kind of quiz them and ask questions along that line. It was permitted to get at that time, a spiritual history. I probably think they probably already taken that out of the rule book and what you can ask a patient. But anyway, I, for one example, it just pops in. I've had so many experiences along this line. This was a beautiful Indian girl. She was married, had a couple of children, and she had called me that morning and told me that she was, this is another day I'm speaking of, but she later on, after I had learned a bit about evil and good, she was very depressed and she'd been in the bed. She told me she would get up and come to my office. She needed to see me, probably. And we didn't have a lot of antidepressants in those days. But she came in, and the minute she walked in the door, I could look at her, and I discerned when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord gives you gifts. One of them is discernment. It's the ability, I just define it myself, is to look at a person and discern, detect their spiritual condition. Anyway, I said, my Bonnie, you look so depressed. She said, oh, I am. Well, I began to find out about this affair she was having on the side with another gentleman, though she was married. And I began to think, this is a sin. No wonder she's having depression. And you see, in medical school, they teach you nothing about sin. But I said, I asked her, I said, do you do you know the Lord? And she said, well, I go to the Methodist church. And I said, oh, I said, well, I thought that's not what I asked her. But I said, no, I mean, do you know the Lord personally? And she said, well, I teach the junior boys class. And then I never did get to the answer I needed. She said, well, we came to the end of her session. And but at that time, at that point, I said, well, I said, honey, if you knew the Lord, you wouldn't have to be depressed like this. And she said, oh, and I said, just a minute. And I looked at her and I said, you foul devils of depression, come up and come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't intend to do it. It just hit me all at once. I did it. She goes, she jumps up like she sat on a bug. And she was shocked. And I said, well, I was too. I was just learning of these things. I said, well, I said, my dear, your time is up. I'll see you next week. She left. But at 5 o'clock, here she comes bouncing into my office looking like a breath of spring with a totally different countenance and everything. And I said, what brings you back? She said, I just had to come back and tell you. When you said that name, Jesus, she said, something just came out, up and out my shoulders, just left me. And she said, I've been feeling wonderful. I've been shopping all afternoon. I thought, that's nice. I had found a new treatment here. But that was one of my first experiences with that. However, I had learned of the reality of deliverance from a lady that was a friend of a patient of mine. And this had happened preceding this event, but this is one of my first experiences to do such a thing. I knew her quite well, and that she was very open-minded, that I wouldn't be in trouble with the medical society for doing such a thing. But I began to study, and I began to, I met this lady who I understood knew about casting out of devils. And so I said, well, I'd like to meet her. And she said, well, she'd like to meet you. And, you know, most people in that day, they automatically thought that psychiatrists were strange, which I was in a different way. But so I picked her up, and we were going to coffee. And on the way there, she's sitting to my right, of course, in the passenger seat looking at me. And all of a sudden, she says, you need deliverance. Something in me wanted to backhand her. I mean, like whop her with my right hand there. But I thought to myself, where did that come from? I don't strike people. Anyway, we went on to the coffee shop. We ended up sitting there almost until noon, about 3 hours, and she's teaching me all about, and coupling it with scriptures, all about demonic powers and how they have a legal right to come in when we open the door to them, even unknowingly, innocently, for the lack of knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Believe me, I was perishing from time to time when I had depression. And let me say, depression comes with a heaviness called oppression. It just makes you so heavy you can hardly drag one foot in front of the other. But anyway, she teaches me, and she's talking this whole time, and she said, well, I'm open for deliverance praying. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know what I was getting in for, but I'd traveled a lot of places and met a lot of strange people, so I said, I'll go for it. And at this time, I had become born again. This was after the stoplight experience, and I was reading the Bible, and I was learning and growing, as Christians do. This is a growing process. You don't just get it all overnight. So she said, well, before I pray deliverance over you, I need to come and clean your house. I thought, I've got a house cleaner. What does she mean? And she said, I'd ask her, she said, I mean clean it spiritually. And I said, okay. So she came over one evening, and as she approached my back deck and was coming into the into the house, I had a bird bath there, and I had a crystal ball in the bird bath, which I had used to put my mind upon. To, you know, fortune tellers use crystal balls sometimes. I thought, I'll see if this works for me. Well, it was a door opener for more demonic powers, frankly, but my husband had bought it for me for a present for Valentine's Day, but I got to thinking I ought to get this out of the house, so I put it outside by a cedar tree, and she said, this lady, she says, what's this doing here? And I said, my husband gave it to me. She said, you don't need this here. This is a, she said, you need to get rid of this. She said, do you have a sledgehammer? Well, yes, my husband has. She said, get it. So we took the crystal ball and took it around by the edge of the garage and smashed it. And when we did, it was like sparks flew all over me. It was demonic powers leaving me, even at that time. When we rid ourselves of objects, artifacts, pictures, little statues and things like that. My patients had, they bring me things like that from their vacation travels and as a gift, they, you know, we, anyway, I had lots of those things in my home, and as she came on in and started through my house, she saw one thing after the other, and she said, no wonder you have depression in here. She said, these things are attachments for demonic powers, because they are, I had Buddha statues, I had, you name it, all kinds of statues, and we got rid of those. She then prayed and commanded everything not of God to leave my home. And in the name of Jesus Christ. And I felt a relief from that. But then she said, I'll come back in about 3 days and I'll pray over you. Okay. So she came at noon, about 3 days later. She said, I've got to fast and really pray up for you. I mean, like, I'm a hard case, maybe. Anyway, she... I sat down in my living room. She stood and walked about praying. She was, by the way, before we got to that, I want to tell you how many books she threw away in my office. I had all kinds of books on reincarnation, on every kind of a false religion that you can think of. And we got rid of all of those things. But anyway, she was praying in the spirit, which is the gift of tongues, of a language. I don't know why the Lord gave us that, but it works. It helps us to... It's just a gift, a blessed gift, when we receive the Holy Spirit. But as she began to pray, she told me now, she said, you might have reactions like wanting to throw up, coughing, whatever. And so I thought, okay, I'm not given to things like this. But so she started praying. First of all, she began by breaking curses over me, spells that had been cast over me by other people that I had met along the way, hexes and jinxes, so forth. And then she began to pray and command, well, really it was command, an authoritative type of prayer. She began to command spirits of rebellion, disobedience, and on, And as she began to call these, and she would say, come out now and leave her in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would feel sometimes little experiences in my being, and I would take spells of coughing, and I didn't really have a cold or anything, but they come out with, the evil spirits come out with manifestations like coughing, crying, maybe yelling, some kind of a physical evidence that they're departing. But when she was through, I felt like, as she had many spirits, all the spirits of reincarnation, hypnosis, you name it, depression, oppression, all these things were leaving me. And when she was through, I felt like somebody had taken a, you know, in back in the day when we cleaned baby's bottles, we did have bottles, glass bottles, and we had bottle brushes that we'd clean the bottles with when we washed them. And I felt like somebody had taken a bottle brush and just cleaned, well, run it up and down in me and cleaned me out. I felt so clean and so pure. I felt holy. I was so overwhelmed. It was the most beautiful feeling. And I cast myself down. We had a fireplace at that point with it was a raise. I just cast myself down and bowed my head and wept tears of relief and joy. And I can tell you, I took a walk every morning, and up, we had to go uphill because we lived on a hill. And I remember when I walked the next day, I felt like I had lost about 10 pounds. I felt so much lighter. It was astounding. So I'm going to pause and see, do you have a question or anything you'd like to ask me?
Well, you're doing great, Dr. Fox, and we have a little over 10 minutes.
Okay.
About sharing some other examples that you've had in your practice.
Well, the Lord led me to begin. I had a lot of group therapy at that time. I found it, I had studied with a world famous psychiatrist from Germany, and Dr. Frederick S. Perls was his name. I'd gone to California to meet him and worked with him, studied his techniques there. And in dealing, and it was a total new to psychiatry. He was certainly acknowledged by some, rejected by others. But anyway, he escaped and came to America. But I just lost my train of thought. I'll have to recapture where I was going with that. He.
Well, examples in your.
I got it. I changed my group therapy. I began to introduce a spiritual aspect to it also, and my patients loved it. You'd be amazed. They began, and then finally, I thought, I'm going to get into it with the medical society. So I was thinking, what am I going to do about this? And a voice spoke to me. It was God, and He said, Twyla, don't charge for that group anymore. Duh, I made about $15 a head, and I had about 12 people in the group. I said, yes, sir. When I heard that, I had no thought of anything but obeying Him. I did. When next group I had, I announced to them, by the way, there'll be no more charge for this group. Nobody said anything to me, but I'm sure they sure talked when they went to the coffee shop afterwards. But anyway, one of these evolved a ministry, an outright ministry, teaching, preaching, and I began to have groups that met on Sunday morning. Anyway, one of the girls came and she said, my mother is in a nursing home. She's very old now. And she said, she's lonely and she's going to die pretty soon. She said, very old. She said, would you go visit her? I said, okay. So I found out where she was and so forth. And the first occasion I had to go was a dark, dark, rainy winter night. And my brother was a new Christian, but he was living with us at that time by our invitation. Anyway, we go there, and the lady was in a raised-up bed with a bed rail up, and her hair was just all over her head, matted and so forth. And she hardly looked at me. She just turned her head, took a glance, and turned her head away from me. And she just sort of looked like she was looking at my brother. But anyway, he went on one side, and I went on the other side of her bed. But I just talked to her. I said, ma'am, I said, I know you're lonely in here, but I said, did you know Jesus loves you? And talked to her about the precious things of God. And she, I guess she listened, I don't know, but finally I said, do you mind if I pray for you? Would that be all right? And she said, she nodded her head, that'd be all right. So I prayed, I don't recall what I said, but I laid my hands on her and on her head and prayed. And when I got through praying, she turned her face around and looked at me in the face, and she was smiling, and she said, I've waited so long for you to come. And she didn't really even know me or know that I was coming, I don't think. But I was astounded at the change in her attitude. Well, I said, well, we have to go now, so I was getting an umbrella and my raincoat on, and I had my back turned, but somehow she had managed to get out of the bed. I guess she let the rail down herself, I don't know, but she got out of the bed, and I was told she could not walk or anything. She was bedfast. She gets out of the bed, and I glance at her, and she's walking perfectly across the room to where there was a mirror and a drawer that had a brush in it. She gets the brush out and starts brushing her hair. I thought, what a miracle is this? I was learning as I went along, but that's one of a different kind of experience that I had. But
hallelujah. Ralph,
yes.
Do you have a question?
Well,
yes.
I kind of did. Something, ma'am, I was thinking about was in all the years of your practice, especially when you learn the supernatural works of Jesus, if there was a certain percentage that you saw that come through, was it a high percentage, low percentage, that most of the things that people came through that were looking for problems, how many of them did you find that were actually spiritual and needed to be delivered before you could even reach
About most all of them had some kind of a need, a spiritual need, and so with some of them, I would see it very clearly. And furthermore, they were living a very sinful lifestyle, and I had to begin somewhere. I thought I was supposed to tell them the truth, you know. And I wasn't ever rude or crude to anybody, but some would say, well, I didn't come to hear a preacher. And I'd say, well, I'm sorry, sir. Maybe you'll find a psychiatrist you like better. So they would leave and never come back. But on the other hand, some, they had really within them a sweet, open spirit. And I could see it just like they just go, they sort of drank it in as I would begin to tell them of the love of God for them. And most of them were not born again Christians, but or had not an experience with the Lord. But I remember right now, Jewish boy, a real Jewish boy. He was in college here, university, and he came to me. I forgot what his problem was, but I began to tell him of all things about Jesus and about my own life and how what a change it had brought for me. He liked me, and he liked what he saw and heard, and he wanted it. So I prayed for him. He came for an evening meeting, and he was sitting in a chair across from me, and I just went over and laid my hands upon him and prayed very softly. And when I was finished, I sat back down. I looked at him. I saw tears in his eyes, and I saw that the Lord really had touched him, and a smile was on his face. These were tears of release and of joy. Anyway, he became a Christian, and he had a time. His folks made him move out. They would not let him live with them anymore. They really cast him out. And he found someplace else to live. And but he it stuck. It really stayed with him. And the last time I saw him, he was driving up past my house because he was worried about me because there was a fire up there, and he was afraid my house was on fire. I went out and talked to him, and he was still with the Lord. But that's one experience. Another experience, I had a lady that was coming to me in a hurry. She had a problem. She would just fall to weeping for no reason at all. She worked in a bank, and you can't suddenly start crying in a bank, you know, when you're working in a public there. Anyway, she had been to our general doctor, a medical doctor, and he had sent her to a neurologist. Then the neurologist had sent her to, he'd done some tests and so forth and couldn't figure it out and or explain it. So then he sends her to me. And so she was referred, and I talked to her, and I didn't find her to be depressed. But at this time, I was doing all kinds of crazy things with my patients, like we'd sit on the floor and lean on pillows. I learned this at Esalen Institute in California. And Dr. Pearls was very free like that. He was an older man, let me say. Anyway, I said, I called her name Betty. We were having the group therapy at that time, and I had already said there's no charge for this group, so I could do what I wanted to, you see. Anyway, I said, lie down here on the floor. And I said, now, each one of us are going to just lay our hands on you and be very silent, and we all know you and care for you. And I prayed silently to the Lord, and I saw a tear, one tear, come rolling out the corner of her right eye, and a smile, and I said, now each one of us is going to lay our hands on her and be still and look to the Lord, and when we take our hands away, we're each going to take part of this problem, and we can each carry it. It's not going to be that much. We spread it around, and we all did that, and that's when I saw this tear. She got up. She never had this spell of unexplained weeping anymore. So I had to conclude it was spiritual rather than neurological or physical. It had to be spiritual. Now, it didn't, nobody cast any demons out. I'll quick tell one more, though. A young lady was on my way. Her husband was an airline pilot, and he was driving her there. Now, he was not a believer, but he came along because he loved her so much. All right. On the way there, the Lord, when she got to the meeting, she said, Twyla, she said, the Lord told me that to ask you to pray for me that I would quit smoking. I want to quit smoking. I said, okay. Well, the technique, by that time I was playing, I learned to play an auto harp, and we'd sing, have a little bit of music therapy thrown in the mix, you understand. But of course it was Christian music that would touch their hearts. Well, anyway, so we usually did that, and I would bring a scripture or two to encourage us along the way. But lo and behold, she said she was already standing in front of me at the beginning of the meeting, and I usually prayed for them at the end of the meeting, but she's standing there, and I guess I'll get up and pray for her now. So I touched her and prayed for her, bound spirits of tobacco, commanded them to leave her, just that way, so gentle, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling for her. She wasn't there. She had hit the deck. And people were picking her up, and I was astounded. I didn't push her. But this is something it's called, I learned, being slain in the Spirit. When the Spirit of God does something for you, sometimes it's so overwhelming, you just melt and lose your ability to stand. But anyway, she never smoked another cigarette. And she's now passed on to the Lord. But that's just one quickie. I've got a jillion stories I could tell you all night. And I love to talk about the Lord and the good things he has done.
Well, Dr.
Fox, is our time up?
I do appreciate you. We are just about out of time. I do thank you for coming on and giving your testimonies. I thank you for your many works in the Lord, wonderful works. Yes. I think of how Luke was called beloved physician, and that's what you were. And Nahara was a beloved physician.
Yes.
And I just think of how much better our world would be if every doctor was like you. Every doctor was with you. It was definitely an honor. Definitely an honor to have you come on and give your testimony. You're more than welcome at any other time to come on and just encourage us and testify to the wonderful works of Jesus and what He's done.
Thank you, Dr. Fox. We'll be encouraged because the Lord has opened this door for you to have an outlet to reach many, many people, many souls. You will touch with the things that you put on your program that they will never get in the churches. I tell you, brothers, the churches nowadays, I don't mean to be critical, but they don't sing. You know, there used to be an old song, Drunkard's Singer, so they don't sing those songs anymore. Born to lose another life before. But I find that they don't sing the hymns of the church anymore. They've taken them out of the
church.
That's
why we're...
The hymn books are in the bottom.
Amen.
And preachers don't preach against sin. They don't tell you there's a devil and he's after you. And here's how to avoid him or how to control him and how to defeat him, overcome him. They don't teach. Nobody hardly teaches this anymore. I feel like we're sort of doing it in an underground manner, you know. That's good.
Well, thank you so much, Twyla. You've been a real blessing tonight. God bless you.
Yes, and I believe we are out of time. So thank you.
Yes, I bet. I'm sorry. But God bless you both. And I hope to... I know Everett, but I don't know the other fellow there. And I don't even know where you're coming from. But I hope...